morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Church for this celebration of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is risen.
Hallelujah.
This morning, first thing, we would like to recognize any visitors. We do not want to embarrass you, but we have children that want to pass out an ink pen to you. So if you would, please, let's try this section first. Are there any visitors with us today? Yes, ma'am.
My mother,
well, thank you. Thank you for bringing the family reunion. Great. Great. What about the middle section? Yes. You. Well, would you stand up and introduce yourself? Spencer? Nice having you today. Get that young man an ink pen. Anybody on the right side here? Oh, sorry?
This is my friend Lynn. A lot of you know her through me because she's the one that I traveled around the country with and we broke down in Tennessee. That's why I'm here. So it's all Lynn's fault.
Still waiting. Still waiting for a good mechanic?
Yes.
I understand. Thank you. Is there anybody on the right side this morning? We're glad to have you. Thank you so much. Yes, sir. Brother Bennett. Thank you, Brother Ben. If there's nothing else, let's move on to announcements this morning. They are in your bulletin. However, if anyone feels like they need to say something, Susan, go ahead. No children's church today. Is there anything else? Have the attendance registers been passed out? If not, would somebody do so? And if you would, when you sign your name, please indicate that you're in the 10:15 service. Prayer and praise request. This morning we have the family of Larry Campbell. Yes, Carol. Monica Blackwell. Yes. The family of George Brown. Are there any others? Yes, I'm sorry. Last name? D-I-N-G-G? Okay. Are there any others? Keep in mind the church body. There are several in the church that have health problems. Let's keep them in mind. Has there been any news about Richard?
He looked good Friday. Last I saw him was Friday. Richard Woodson.
If you would please bow your head for a moment as we get ready to worship the Lord.
doors are barred and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness, rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gates began to rattle, and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. But the stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. How or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, but what, I didn't know. John believed a miracle, I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, and I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything that I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, wouldn't be the same. Suddenly, the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Light that shone from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide, and I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. And he raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. Every fear that I'd ever had just melted into peace. This is the day that we celebrate. What are we celebrating?
The call to worship this morning is from Matthew 28, verses 1 through 6. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb.
There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven,
and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and set it.
His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men.
The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who is crucified.
He is not here. He has risen, just as he said."
He is not here. He is risen. Hallelujah.
If you would please turn to number 217 in your hymnal.
Prayer. Eternal God, we praise you that your glory has dawned upon us and brought us unto this day of resurrection. We rejoice today that the grave could not hold your Son, that he has conquered death, risen to rule over all the powers of the earth. We praise you that he summons us to new life, to follow him with joy and gladness. By your Spirit, lift us from doubt and despair and set our feet on Christ's holy way, that our lives may be signs of his life and all we have may show forth his love. Praise, glory, and thanksgiving to you, our God, forever and ever, in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Our call to confession this morning is in your bulletin, Romans 5:12. Sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all men because all sinned. If you would, please read with me. Almighty God,
in raising Jesus from the grave, you shattered the power of sin and death. We confess that we remain captive to doubt and fear, bound by the ways that lead to death. We overlook the poor and the hungry, and pass by those who mourn. We are deaf to the cries of the oppressed and indifferent to calls for peace. We despise the weak and abuse the earth you made. Forgive us, God of mercy. Help us to trust your power to change our lives and make us new. That we may know the joy of life abundant, giving in Jesus Christ the risen Lord.
Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness this morning from Romans 6, verses 11, 12, and 14. Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you will obey its evil desires. Sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Our offertory sentence this morning, John 3:16. God loved us so much that He gave His only Son. Would our ushers come forward, please?
Thank you. vision and saw a simple man, a carpenter with healing in his hands. They saw him calm the sea and heal a dying man. They saw, but could they really understand? They could not, they could not, though they tried, they could not. He was just a simple carpenter with healing in his hands, but could they really understand? They could not. They listened to the teaching that they heard and wondered at the mystery of his word. They wondered what he meant about our Father's plan. They heard, but could they really understand? They could not, they could not, though they tried, they could not. They listened to his teaching about a Father's plan, but could they really understand? They could not. So finally upon a rugged cross, they killed the man who could not suffer loss. And when at last they took what willingly he gave, he died, but could they keep him from the grave? They could not, they could not. Praise God, they could not. And when at last they took from him what willingly he gave, could they keep him in the grave? Could they keep him in the grave? Could they keep him in the grave? What willingly he gave, could they keep him in the grave? Could they keep him in the grave? Could they keep him in the grave?
Children's time. Remember that we're not having children's church today. If all the youngsters would come up front, Miss Andrea.
Room for more. Everybody get up, have a seat. There you go. There's some up in the back there. So, can you get through there? Hi, Donna. Come on over here and stand up. Okay. Can y'all sit back there? And you want to come over here? I think there's room right up there for you. There you go. See? Always room for more. Y'all hop up just a second when you can get through. There you go. Okay, good deal. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Well, let me tell you what happened to us on Good Friday.
What's going on?
I got it on. Yeah. On Good Friday, we were blessed by the Lord to be able to see a new life, a new beginning come into the world. Our horse had her baby about 8:30 that night, and we were all there to assist her and to watch. We got to see him take his first breath. We got to sit there for hours and let him get his legs under him and finally stand up. We got to watch him for about another half hour, figure out how to nurse. But he did finally figure it out, and we got to watch his mama be so patient and talk to him and nuzzle him and keep working with him until he figured things out. And it was just absolutely wonderful experience. It was a brand new beginning. And the great thing about us, we have a Lord and Savior that was willing to come and die for us on the cross and take our sins away and to rise again and go back to heaven for us and be there for us each and every day. He's a living Savior. It tells us in John 3:16, which we've already heard, that He sent God sent His only begotten Son. And we know that verse very well, don't we? He sends for us, for each and every one of us. But in the next verse, it tells us that He did not send His Son to destroy the world. He sent His only Son to save the world. And those of us that believe in Him already, we're already saved. Those that don't, they're not. And He left us with work to do. He left His disciples, and we're His disciples, with work to do. And that's to go out and spread the message. It's really a very simple message. We're the ones that make it hard. He loves us. He loves us so much that He gave His life. He loves us so much that He wants us all to be with Him in glory and that have us all be victory, have victory over death. And it's our job, right? We all have the job of going out and telling folks that we can have a new beginning, a brand new beginning with our Lord. Yes. Oh, how about that? That was a new beginning too, wasn't it? Lots of new beginnings. That's really great. Well, I want you all to know that Jesus loves each and every one of you and that He wants you to have the best Easter ever and He wants you to share the love that He has for all of you. Yes, one more. Oh, how about that? Well, happy Easter to all of you, and let's go up and sing with Miss Melanie and know that we serve a risen Savior, and we have the good news to share.
We're going to sing a song that usually is sung traditionally at Passover holiday in Jewish culture. We sang it a year ago, and this time we'll try to do it again, and we'll try to sing it all together. It's going to be in Jewish, but don't get scared. There is a chorus that we're going to sing all together, and the word is Dayanu. I'll explain what this song means. Had He taken us out of Egypt? Had He taken care of us for 40 years in the desert? Had He given us the Sabbath? Had He given us the Torah? That would be enough. Every tiny single miracle that God does is enough to give Him the great thanks. But the biggest thing that could ever be done to the mankind is that Jesus came and died on the cross for us and He rose from the dead. And this is the greatest hope that we've got. So children's choir will help to sing this song, and all the children and the congregation. And let's practice singing this, just the chorus. The words are Dayanu, Dayanu, Dayanu. That will be enough. Okay, Anna. I'll sing the first verse. Just.
Dayanu, Dayanu, Dayanu.
Iyum hotsi hotsi yanu hotsi yanu mi mitraim hotsi yanu mi mitraim dayenu
dai dayenu dai dayenu dai dayenu 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 dai dayenu dai dayenu dai dayenu dayenu dayenu. Dai dai yeno, 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 dai yeno, dai yeno. Iyo na tan na tan lanu na tan lanu et hatora na tan lanu et hatora dai yeno.
Dai dai yeno, dai dai yeno, dai dai yeno, dai yeno, dai yeno, dai yeno, dai dai yeno, dai yeno, dai yeno.
Scripture lesson this morning is from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. You may read along in your bulletin. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
the Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Turn in your hymnal again, if you will, please, to hymn 220. Let's sing the first and last. Evangelist, for He lives.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always here. He lives, He lives, for He lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, I'm able to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Because we as a Christian lift up your voice and sing.
The year of our Lord. What does it mean? What does it mean to you? Somebody asked me even this morning, where does the Easter Bunny come in? Don't believe we find it in the Bible. Easter is about an empty tomb. Easter is about a risen Savior, a risen Jesus. Jesus had experienced a royal welcome on Sunday. But on Monday, things began to change. Those that were present then did not make Him so welcome. He didn't do as they wanted Him to do. He didn't follow their preconceived notions, their expectations. And when that happens, people began to, well, leave you. He came into town and went to the temple and drove the money changers and the merchants away, saying that the temple would be called a house of prayer for all people. not just those who had enough money to buy the sacrifices. Somewhere along the way on Monday, he cursed a fig tree, an unproductive fig tree. And when they saw it again, it was withered. He spent 4 days teaching about the kingdom of God and talking with those religious leaders who were so disturbed by him. And then Thursday night came, and he met with his 12 disciples in the upper room to celebrate the Passover. All of them were of Jewish heritage, lineage, and they wanted to celebrate or observe the Passover. They wanted to remember when God had so miraculously freed their ancestors from the bondage of Egypt. And it had happened many years before, but faithful Jews continued to celebrate and remember, observe, if you will, and give thanks to God for His blessings, freeing them from bondage, slavery, and bringing them to the land flowing with milk and honey. While they were celebrating, or as part of the celebration, Jesus took a basin, some towels or a towel, and washed the disciples' feet. Even when they disagreed with him or objected, Peter did that. Jesus encouraged Peter to allow it to happen so that Peter could have a part in Jesus' life and ministry. And while they were gathered, he instituted what we know as the Lord's Supper, or the Last Supper, or the sacrament, as we call it today, of Holy Communion. He gave, through the communion service, or through the supper, a perpetual remembrance of His dying. His dying to pay for their sin, and the sin of all people of all time, all who would trust in Him as their Savior, trust Him to forgive their sin. As Jews, they remembered the Exodus, the Passover. As Christians, we remember the crucifixion, the resurrection. And we celebrate that to remember, even 2,000 years after that happened. He gave us also, according to the Apostle Paul, a way to proclaim the Lord's death, to speak of it through our action. And we have carried that on, Christians have, since that time, remembering His dying to pay for our sin and proclaiming Jesus' death. And we are to do it until He returns. He promises to return. He promised to return to claim those who had put their faith in Him. After supper, He went out to the garden to pray. Garden of Gethsemane. And He went to pray to God the Father about what He was facing. He knew what was coming. He had known it a long time. Did he know it when he left heaven and came to earth as a babe, born to a virgin? He knew that death was coming. And not an easy death, not a humane death, but an inhumane one. The death of a criminal. He knew that he would, before he died, he would suffer. He knew something about Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 52 of Isaiah and chapter 53 of Isaiah. He was well versed in the scriptures, quoting them often. He asked the Father to remove this cup from him, if it could be his will, but then he submitted again to the Father's will, God the Father's will, saying, "Not what I want, Father, but what you want." And if that's what is necessary to redeem man, I'll go to the cross. I'm willing. Not anxious, but willing. That night, while he was still in the garden, he was betrayed by the kiss of one that had spent some years with him, Judas, one of the chosen 12. And while he was still in the garden, he was arrested. The soldiers were right there with Judas, and they arrested him. He was hurried off to a trial, and finally he was handed over to the Roman authorities. And while he was before the authorities, the Jewish authorities, the Roman authorities, Peter waited outside another of his chosen 12, and when someone said, "You are one of this man's friends," Peter denied it. Not once, but twice. And not just twice, but three times. And Jesus had told Peter that he would do this. And Peter says, "Never on your life or your death will I deny you." But Jesus says, "Yes, you will deny me three times before the rooster crows." And as soon as he had said for the third time, "I don't know this man," the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered his promise. And Peter could see Jesus, and Jesus could see Peter, and Jesus looked at him. And can you imagine how he must have felt? And the next day, he was crucified. As Alfred often quotes, about 3 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. He was crucified not for crimes that he had done, but for what the religious leaders thought was blasphemy. Jesus had claimed to be God. One place is Matthew 27, verse 11. They said, "Are you King of the Jews?" And he says, "It is as you say." Jesus was also accused of being an enemy of Caesar, the Roman emperor, and the Romans were occupying Jerusalem and Judea. And claiming to be King of the Jews, those who wanted to kill him had the Roman authorities on their side. So, the church of that day who were disturbed by Jesus trying to help them get on the right track, and the Roman authorities put him to death. He was handed over to the Roman authorities and he was crucified. Thursday night, as some of us came to the altar, to each small group, I would ask them to observe the communion table with the cross. And we have such a pretty, shining cross. And it's symbolic of that cross that Jesus died on, but there's no comparison, really, except the shape. So that was a instrument of execution for criminals, the worst kind of criminals. It was a wooden cross, a rough-hewn cross, not shiny at all, probably bloodstained. We don't know how many other times it had been used to execute some criminal. Crucified not for crimes that he had done, but for claiming to be God and for not denying that he was King of the Jews. And when they were sure that he was dead, two friends took his body, one of them named Nicodemus, that we meet, or we met back in John chapter 3, who came to Jesus by night to ask him about the way of salvation, the new birth, but he was afraid to come out into the open. He was kind of a closet Christian or nighttime Christian. But when Jesus was killed, he came and helped Joseph of Arimathea. And together they took the body and took it to, we're told, to a borrowed tomb, to Joseph's tomb. And placed it there. And they put some spices on it. And they rolled a large stone in front of the opening of the tomb. And they left. What started as a glorious week? Remember, a royal welcome with palm branches and clothes being taken off and placed on the animal that he was riding on. Shouts of Hosanna! Shouts of save us! Save us! Save us! Hosanna! And now, how things had changed. What started as a glorious week on Sunday, on Friday, it was a day of tragedy. Or so it seemed. And his enemies thought they were successful. His enemies thought it was all over for this guy who had disturbed their little operation, so to speak. They thought that they were finally free of him. He's dead. What else can he do? But how wrong they were. Things certainly had changed in 5 days, and they were so pleased with themselves. But death and burial was not the end for this Jesus. Before daybreak on Sunday, they found out that death and burial was not the end. For you see, his death and burial, that was only a pause, if you will, a pause, a short pause in his work here on earth. Kind of like a comma in a sentence. We're reading and we kind of run out of breath, so we find a comma that permits us to pause and catch our breath and then read on. or if it's a unison reading for everybody else to catch up. And that was Jesus' death, just a pause, just like a comma in a sentence. Before daybreak on Sunday, Mary, the one that he had forgiven so much, Mary came to the tomb to place additional spices on Jesus' body. Did she not think that Joseph and Nicodemus had done a sufficient job? Or was it a custom to come back later? I'm not sure of all the ramifications of why she brought them, or all the reasons. But when she came to with spices, when she got there, she found that the stone that had been rolled in front of the entrance to the tomb had been rolled away. The tomb was open. And the body of Jesus was not there. What had happened? The tomb was empty. Had they stolen his body? Had his friends stolen it? Had the officials stolen it? What had happened? She didn't know, but she ran to tell Peter and that other disciple that we know to be John. She found them and told them that the tomb was empty, and they go with her. And as you read this passage of Scripture that Jim read, you find that John outran Peter. But when he got to the entrance of the tomb, he stopped, and Peter caught up, and Peter came up and went on in. He entered the tomb, and what did he find? No body of Jesus. Jesus wasn't there. But he found strips of linen lying there. And then the cloth that had been around Jesus' head, it was folded and lying separate from the body wrappings. And somebody was commenting on this, not even, don't remember who it was, but said that the linens that had wrapped Jesus' body, it appeared that Jesus had just evaporated out of them, because they were in the shape that they would have been if they were wrapped around his body. It was like he just evaporated without disturbing them. But the head wrapping, it was folded neatly and laid aside. Peter and John, they left the tomb. Mary lingered, and there may be some great importance that we could associate with just lingering where Jesus has been. Think of it. Mary lingered at the tomb, and soon Jesus came and talked with her. And she recognized him. And then she went to the disciples to tell them the news that she had seen the Lord alive. See, Peter and John only found an empty tomb. There was no body there. There was no living Lord there that they could see. But they left, and Mary lingered, and the Lord came to visit with her, to bless her, and then sent her with the news that he was alive. That he was alive. Jesus alive. After the crucifixion. After the crucifixion. He had defeated death. He had paid the penalty for sin. My sin and your sin. The sin of all who will trust him as their Savior. Who will claim that death as payment for their sin. See, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. He had finished the work of salvation. That part of his work he had finished. And God raised him up to new life incredible, unbelievable to some. But real. According to the testimony of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and 500 more of his day. The resurrection. Jesus is raised from the dead. What does it mean? Some people might say, Jesus is raised up, so what? How could anybody be that callous, though? But what difference does it make that Jesus was raised from the dead? What did it mean for John? In the eighth verse of our lesson here, it says that John saw the empty tomb. That's all he saw. And he believed. So what difference did it make in John's life that he believed that Jesus was who he said he was? That he believed that Jesus was the Savior sent from God. So it made a lot of difference to him. And then read verse 9. It says that though the Scriptures had spoken of the resurrection, the Old Testament Scriptures is what they had then, they had trouble believing. They didn't understand it. They didn't comprehend it. The Apostle Paul, what did it mean to him? It meant that he had a lot of work to do to convince the Corinthians, the Greek world, the Gentile world of the reality of the resurrection. But it also meant that he could be saved through the resurrected Jesus. The Apostle Paul says that the resurrection, along with the death and burial of Jesus, was a matter of first importance for the Christian. And as I read that, I understand that to mean there is nothing in the message of the Bible more important than Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. That's the matter of highest importance, of first importance, of ultimate importance. That's the gospel. That's the good news. He died, he was buried, and he was raised on the third day. Raised to new life, overcoming sin and death. Paul also says that it is by his death, burial, and resurrection that we are saved. So what it means for us, his death, paying for our sin, his burial, his resurrection, overcoming sin and death, the penalty, God raised him up. We're saved through that act and our faith in that act. Paul also says, if there is no resurrection, our faith is futile. And then he says, if there is no resurrection, or I've taken a liberty there, so let me read it as it's written. Or if this is the only life that there is, we are to be pitied more than all men. Because we have put a faith. It's a pitiful thing to put a faith in something that's not real. So Paul says, if the resurrection is not real, we are so pitiful. And we deserve the pity because we've acted in ignorance. Someone put it this way, the resurrection of Jesus is the center of our Christian faith. Because he rose from the dead, we know that he really is God. He wasn't blaspheming. Because he rose from the dead, we are certain that our sins are forgiven. And because he rose from the dead, he lives. And he represents us before God as our advocate, or as our lawyer, if you will. And then, what difference does it make?
What's the importance of the resurrection, or is it important? Because He lives, we too shall live. We too shall be raised to new life. So life is not over when we breathe our last breath in this existence, because Jesus is the first fruits of them that sleep in Him. Resurrection is in the future of the believer in Christ. Resurrection is in the future of the Christian. We who believe in Jesus and trust Him as our Savior and Lord, we shall not suffer the sting of death, or we shall not be stung by death. Death will only be a pause. A pause, if you will. Because Jesus has said that the resurrected Jesus has said that He will come from heaven and call the dead in Christ from the grave and reunite the body with the spirit and take us to that heavenly home where we will be forever with the Lord. That's the difference that resurrection makes. Let's pray. Again, O God, we thank You for Jesus. And we thank You, Lord, that though You permitted Him to die to pay for our sin, that You raised Him up after the penalty was paid. Lord, we come today rejoicing that the grave could not hold Your Son, and that He has conquered death. He has risen to rule over all powers of this earth. And we praise You today that He summons us to new life and calls us to follow Him with joy and gladness. Lift us from doubt and despair. Set our feet on Christ's holy way, that our lives may be signs of life, and that we may show forth His love to the praise and the glory of You and of Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. Turn, if you will, to 216 in your hymnal. It's an invitation hymn this morning, but it's also a proclamation of your faith. And you may have a response to make public your faith this morning. You may feel that need or that desire today. So let's stand together and sing 216, Christ Arose, and let's sing the first and the second stanza. And if your response is a public one this morning, I will meet you here in the altar and share with you and pray with you and allow you to proclaim before this congregation your faith in Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
belief in words through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Pronounce God's blessings upon us.
Hear the bells ringing, they're singing that hymn.